Okay, we're going to start in just a couple of seconds. Everyone can feel free to just move up. No need to leave so much space between everyone, so people could feel free to move up some rows if they would like. Okay, welcome everyone to the second breakout session. Rabbi Tzvi Sobolovsky is a Rosh Yeshiva in Reitz and also serves as the rabbi of Congregation Or HaTorah in Bergenfield. He is going to be speaking about rejoicing through Torah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, and beyond. Without further ado, Rabbi Sobolovsky.
I remember I was once privy to a conversation that two young people were talking about what they thought Yom Kippur was all about. So I remember one of the young men said, Yom Kippur is the saddest day after all we're fasting. So the other one said, why is it so sad? So the first one said, well, we're remembering all the terrible things that happened that day. I was thinking to myself, that's a very, very different Yom Kippur that I'm familiar with. So I thought, rather than just delegating Yom Kippur almost to the model of Tisha B'Av, let's try to understand really what did happen in Yom Kippur, what we are, I wouldn't say sad about, but perhaps what we're actually celebrating in Yom Kippur, and really to get ourselves into the proper mood as to what is that proper mood? What is our mindset supposed to be in Yom Kippur? So we're all pretty much familiar with the actions, what we do or don't do in Yom Kippur. We know the Nisach HaTfilah, and of course we're all fasting and not doing Melacha, but perhaps we're not quite as certain as to what we're supposed to be thinking and feeling. What is the emotions on Yom Kippur? What is appropriate and what is perhaps not really in the spirit of the day? So let's see if we can analyze just what is the spirit, emotional aspect of Yom Kippur. So we begin with the first of the sources, a Rambam in Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah, where the Rambam is talking about the halachas of Hallel, and the Rambam begins by telling us, "V'lo Hallel shel Chanukah b'lvad hu shebi divrei sofrim." The recitation of Hallel on Chanukah is not a mitzvah min haTorah. That's a fairly obvious statement, because Chanukah itself, of course, is not min haTorah. It was instituted much later date in history. It is what we call divrei sofrim. Here, the Rambam is using that term synonymous with midirabanan. That it's a very loaded term, divrei sofrim. Sometimes the Rambam uses it in a little bit of a different way, but for our purposes, it's clearly referring to something that is rabbinic in nature. So the Rambam tells us that not only is the recitation of Hallel on Chanukah midirabanan, ela kriyas haHallel li'olam midivrei sofrim. Any and every time that we recite Hallel, it's only midirabanan, only of rabbinic origin. All days that we recite Hallel, all the Yom Tovim, Hallel is not a mitzvah in the Torah. And then the Rambam goes on to elaborate which are those days. There are 18 days a year that we say the entire Hallel. The Elohim. Shmonos Shemechag, the 8 days of Sukkot, including Shmini Atzeres as the eighth. Ushmonos Shemechanukah, 8 days of Chanukah. V'rishon Shal Pesach, the first day of Pesach. V'yom Atzeres, and the day of Atzeres, which is of course Shavuos. Now the Rambam here is referring to the 18 days in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz La'aretz, you have to add on a day to each of these days, or the second day of Yontif. So you end up with a total of 21 days. But in Eretz Yisrael, there are 18 days where Hallel is recited. The Rambam is not referring to Hallel of Rosh Chodesh. Hallel in Rosh Chodesh is not a complete Hallel, and it's actually not even a real obligation. It's more customary. But there are 18 days when one is obligated to recite Hallel. And now the Rambam begins to contrast the days when one does not recite Hallel. Avol Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippurim ein behen Hallel. One does not recite Hallel on either Rosh Hashanah or on Yom Kippur. It's clear from the Rambam that one would have expected Hallel to be recited, because after all, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are Yomim Tovim, so one would have thought Hallel would have been appropriate. And the Rambam tells us why, in fact, that is the case. Why do we not recite Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? So the Rambam continues, Lefi Shehen Yemei Tshuva, because the days of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are days of repentance. V'yira, there are days of fear, upachad, awe and fear. Lo Yemei Simcha Yisera, they're not days of grandiose simcha. They're not days of absolute, complete joy, and therefore it would be inappropriate to recite Hallel. But the Rambam is basically doing this paraphrasing what Chazal tell us in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that Sifrei Chayim v'Sifrei Meis Psuchim v'Atem Omim Shira, when the books of life and death are open in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it would be completely inappropriate to recite Hallel. And the Rambam again uses the phrase of Yimei Tshuva Yir V'Fachad. Then just to complete the Rambam writes, why don't we say Hallel on Purim? That's for a totally different reason. Because instead of saying Hallel, we recite the Megillah, which is in a sense a form of Hallel. So I want to focus and be medayek to learn carefully the way the Rambam is presenting the absence of Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The Rambam describes the days of Yom Kippur, days of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, as days of Tshuva Yir V'Fachad, but look at what they are not. Lo Yimei Simcha Yisera. They are not days of great, abundant joy. The implication of the Rambam is clear. They are not days of abundant joy because there is fear and pachad and tshuva. But the Rambam did not say they're not days of joy. The Rambam did not say they're not happy occasions. The Rambam did not say they're not Yavim Tovim. The Rambam said that they're not Yimei Simcha Yisera. The joy is mitigated. The joy is in the proper perspective and the proper amount. But are they days of simcha? Absolutely, they are days of simcha. Proof positive that there is some dimension of simcha, of joy, on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is found in an area of halacha, a very sad situation. If a person passes away either before Rosh Hashanah or before Yom Kippur, and the relatives are in the middle of observing Shiva, Rosh Hashanah cancels Shiva. Or in the case of Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur cancels Shiva. What gives Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur the ability to nullify the observance of mourning? The Gemara explains to us, Simchas Yomtif overrides Avelos. If Simchas Yomtif overrides Avelos, both for Rosh Hashanah and for Yom Kippur, it is clear that there is some dimension of Simcha present, both in Rosh Hashanah as well as in Yom Kippur. So, Yimei Simcha Yisera not. Hallel somehow requires an overjoy, an overabundance of joy. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are lacking because they also have the dimension of Yimei Tshuva, Yir V'Fachad, but to some degree, Simcha there is present. So when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, it's almost easier for us to digest this idea. Rosh Hashanah we associate with almost half the day is a year of a fachad tshuva, the time we spend davening and tekiah shofar and very somber, solemn mood. And the afternoon, things relax, lighten up a little bit. Sometimes they lighten up a little bit too much. You have to bring them back into perspective. I always tell my children over the story, and the second night of Rosh Hashanah this year, they beat me to it. They said, I'll be about to tell us the story. At least Baruch Hashem, it's a good sign. It means they've been listening all these years. I always tell them the story that happened to me when I was a Talmud in Yeshivas Keren B'Yavne. Those who may remember, Rabbi Govich, that's how Rabbi Chaim Yachav Govich, the first founding Rosh Hashiva of Keren B'Yavne. I was invited to his house for the Suda on the second night of Rosh Hashanah. And we're sitting at the Suda, and somebody came to over who had been spending Yom Tov in Yeshiva, hadn't seen Rosh Hashiva in a while, came to wish Rosh Hashiva a good Yom Tov in the middle of the meal, and he sat down in the middle of the meal, and he started to talk to the Rosh Hashiva a little bit, and the Rosh Hashiva made a little joke. They were joking about some old time stories that had happened in Keren B'Yavne 30 years before, and the Rosh Hashiva made a little bit of a joke. And I saw, as he cracked the joke, he stopped himself. And he said, I'll say it over quickly in Hebrew, I'll explain it in English. He said, Rachma B'nei Shizah Laila Sheni. I can only crack a half a joke because it's already the second night of Rosh Hashanah. We already davened today, ready blue shofar today. If it would have been the first night, I wouldn't have even cracked a half a joke. So that was pachad. Wow. For him, it was Yimei Pachad, Nora V'ayam, a little bit of simcha, a tiny drop of simcha, but only on the second day, not even on the first night. So, Rosh Hashanah, we can almost associate, identify a little bit with simcha, but Yom Kippur, what in the world does Yom Kippur have to do with simcha? None of the normal manifestations of simcha are present on Yom Kippur. Obviously, there's no suda, there's no basar, there's no yayin. All the regular fulfillments that we identify with simchas hayom, of celebration of Yom Tov, are clearly absent on Yom Kippur. There's no hallel, there's nothing. So what is it about Yom Kippur that somehow, somewhere, makes it a time of Simcha? Simcha you say we're not, but a little bit of Simcha, yes. So if we take a look at the second of the sources, we get almost an entirely different spin on Yom Kippur that puts Yom Kippur almost at the top of the list in terms of you make Simcha in the following sense. The famous Gemara in Maseches Tainis and the Flamin of Beis in the second of the Amram Shimon Gamliel, L'hoyu Yomim Tovim L'Yisrael K'chamisha Asa Ba'av U'Chayom HaKippurim. There are no greater days, no Yomim Tovim as great as powerful for the Jewish people like the Tu Ba'av and Yom Kippur. Now we know the context of this describes that this was there were different celebrations that were done and tried to make Shidduchim in those days, but Chazal described Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av as being great, great, wonderful days. The Gemara says, really? What's so wonderful about them? So Bishlam Yom Kippur, I understand why Yom Kippur is a great Yontif. Mishum de'is be'slicha o mechila, yom sheninu bo luchos acharonos. Because there are two aspects of Yom Kippur that elevate Yom Kippur to a time of Yomim Tovim, or a time of Simcha. One is, it's a time of Slicha, it's a time of forgiveness, time of Tshuva. And number two, it's the day, calendarically, it's the day, historically, that the second set of Luchos were given to the Jewish people. If you just simply do the math, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai on Vav Sivan, Zayin Sivan, the question exactly when, the first day Shavuos, second day Shavuos, he went up to Har Sinai. 40 days later, he came down on Shavuosa B'Tammuz, and he broke the Luchos at the time of the Egel Azov. He went back up 40 days to daven for the Jewish people until Rosh Chodesh Elul, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to go up a third time for another 40 days, and again, make the simple calculation. If you go up on Rosh Chodesh Elul, then you come down 40 days later on Yom Kippur, which is exactly when the second set of Luchos were given to the Jewish people. So, Yom Kippur is a celebration both of time of Slicha Mechila, both historically that the Jewish people were forgiven on that very first Yom Kippur, and of course it's the day of Slicha for all generations, and it's also the day that the Torah was in effect given to us. It was given to us second time around. The first giving of the Torah in Shavuos didn't last, the Luchos were broken, but the second one is the one that we ultimately have until today. So the Gemara begins to give us a little bit of a glimpse as to what Yom Kippur is really all about. What are we celebrating on Yom Kippur? We're celebrating two things. We're celebrating Slicha Mechila, and we're celebrating the re-receiving of the Torah. And then the Gemara goes on to speak about and what happened on Tu B'Av. Again, not a Tu B'Av sugya right now, but for Yom Kippur purposes, there are two things that we're highlighting. Slicha Mechila, Shuva, as well as Kabbalah Satorah, acceptance of receiving of the Torah. So let's begin to analyze each one of these two things separately and then together as a unit. What is it about Slicha u'mechila v'kapara that creates Yomim Tovim, that creates Simcha, that creates a mood of joy? And what is it about Yom Shenitnu Luchos, the Kabbalah Satorah, that also creates that similar mood of joy as well? If these are the two aspects, the two dimensions that create Yomim Tovim, for Yom Kippurim, then it behooves us to understand what are we supposed to be focusing, why are we in fact happy on Yom Kippur. So let's begin with a very, very critical Rambam in the third of the sources. It's a Rambam in the Chas Tshuva, Perek Zayin al Chazayin, where the Rambam is extolling the greatness of Tshuva. If I'm not mistaken, I think today is the seventh day of Esses Metshuva. Many have the custom of learning a perek of Hilchas Tshuva each and every day of Esses Metshuva. I could kind of say I have that custom in the following sense. I always try to finish Hilchas Tshuva during Esses Metshuva. The right way to do it is to learn a perek every day. The wrong way to do it is to learn all 10 prakim after Kol Nidre. But sometimes I get bogged down during the course of the week, and that ends, tends to happen. So I am not personally in Perek Zion today, but at least we'll read this halacha together. So the Rambam tells us just how beautiful, just how wonderful, just how beneficial Tshuva is. Kama me'ula malasa tshuva. Just how great tshuva is. And the Rambam depicts a beautiful illustration. Emesh, just yesterday, says the Rambam, Hayazeh, the individual who we're talking about, removdo me'Hashem lokei Yisrael. He was distant, he was separated from Hashem. She'ne'amar, avanoseichem ho'im avdilim b'neichem v'en lokeichem. After all, one's sins separate one from Hashem. And what does that mean to be separate and distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So he calls out Hashem, doesn't seem to be any answer. Shenemar ki sarbu tefila, he's davening, but somehow the closeness isn't there. He doesn't sense HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really paying attention. V'yosa mitzvos, and he does mitzvos, V'torfin osam b'fonav. And Hashem says, don't do me any favors. The Rambam references the Haftorah for Shabbos Chazon, where the Navi Yeshayahu says to the Jewish people, don't bother coming to the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem says. If you can't get your act together, you can't be Chos B'tshuva, you can't be good people, don't bother coming to the Beis HaMikdash. Very, very scary, frightening psukim. Migam b'chem b'yizkul v'asayim. So this is pre-tshuva. This is yesterday, says the Rambam. Now it's today. V'hayom, what changed? Only the change was tshuva. A person is chozer b'tshuva. Look at the new picture. Hu mudbak b'shechina. He is clinging. He is connected. He's glued to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenema v'tem adveikim b'Hashem Elokeichem. And now what happens from that newfound relationship? Well, it's all of one day later. Tzoeik b'nenu miyad. He calls out to Hashem and he's answered right away. Shenema v'yatem mikro b'nei aneh. Hashem answers his tefillahs. Now, when we say Hashem answers the tefillahs, the answer is not always what we think is the correct answer. That's already another time in another place. But to think that Hashem doesn't listen, Hashem is listening because we're so close. We're right there. The osim mitzvos, now, all of a sudden, the person in the state of tshuva, a mere 24 hours later, he does mitzvos. Umekablin osan bin nachas. And look at the next word, v'simcha. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets nachas. Like the child who brings nachas to the parents, we give nachas to Kadosh Baruch Hu when he sees us doing mitzvahs. And in Shemayim, they accept our mitzvahs with simcha, this great joy in the world above. Shenema ki kfar rotzo Elokim es ma'asecha. The Rambam is actually making reference to the pasuk that Chazal tell us is actually the words that are said in Shemayim at the end of Yom Kippur. Chazal tell us that when Yom Kippur ends, so there's a bas kol, there's a voice from heaven that goes out that says, "Ki rotza Elokim es ma'asecha." Hashem has accepted our tefillahs. That's what the poskim say. There's a mitzvah to have a nice seudah, to have a nice meal on Matzah Yom Kippur, not just because we're hungry, but there's a mitzvah to celebrate Matzah Yom Kippur. Ki kvar rotza Elokim es ma'asecha. The celebration of the voice in heaven that announces Hashem wants us back again. V'lo od, and the very powerful words of the Rambam. Not only does Hashem accept our mitzvos with simcha, Ela Shemis Avim Lahem. It's almost, it's hard even to use the word about Hashem. Hashem has a taiva for us. He has a desire, kavyochel. Again, obviously we're using human terms to describe the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem wants our mitzvos. Shenema v'arvel Hashem minchas yudov v'shalayim kimam v'shalim kamanios. That the Kadosh Baruch Hu is calling out, now I want to have a relationship with you, just simply because you are chozer b'tshuva. It is this description of the tshuva experience that is described as the Rambam. What happens in Shemayim, there's nachas v'simcha. There's a tremendous joy in Shemayim because the relationship has been rekindled. That joy from heaven trickles down to earth as well. That is the simcha of Yom Kippur. The simcha of Yom Kippur is, it's a Yom Slicha Mechila. As Chazal said in the second of the sources in Maseches Tainis, the Yom Slicha Mechila creates the status of simcha. If there is joy in Shemayim, then there's joy in the Eretz as well. If there is joy up high, then there's joy down here as well, because of the newfound relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is one aspect, a critical aspect of the Simchas Hayom of Yom Kippur. But perhaps it's even more to it than that. Rabbi Soloveitchik explained that if you look carefully in Chumash, you'll notice that whenever the Torah speaks about Simcha, about rejoicing, it's always in context with being Lifnei Hashem, when you're in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know, for example, the experience of going Alila Regel, visiting the Beis Hamikdash 3 times a year, is a tremendous source of Simcha. Even today, that unfortunately we don't have the formal mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, but we speak about Aliyah L'Regel, we daven for it, we ask for it, and our Musaf is all focusing around Shalosh Bam Bashana. We speak about going to visit a Kadosh Baruch Hu, because the ultimate source of joy in this world, explained the Rav, is being in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you're really, truly in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's only joy. Oz v'ched v'mukamu. In a Kadosh Baruch Hu's realm, in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's world, there are no problems, there are no tzaras, there's nothing that concerns us. The reason why sometimes we're not in that state of an absolute, complete joy, explained thereof, is because as we get further and further away from Kadosh Baruch Hu, so our joy diminishes in turn. Come Shalosh Regalim, we come visit our Kadosh Baruch Hu, we reconnect to our source, we become close to Hashem again, our joy level, we had a barometer, it was measuring our level of joy, so I would say, as you get closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you become a happier, more joyful person. The Rav explained on Yom Kippur, when a person attains mechilas avonos, there's a tremendous sense of joy. Because, after all, what was creating the distance in the first place? As the Rambam described, yesterday the person was distant. Yesterday the Aveiros created those barriers. When those barriers are removed and a person reconnects to where he really belongs in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so there's a great joy that emanates. So that is the first aspect. That's the first part of our mindset in Yom Kippur. A tremendous sense of simcha, the simcha emanating from a reconnection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there is another aspect that Chazal spoke about, namely that it's the day of receiving Torah, a second time around, second chance at the Torah. How does that fit into the mindset and the mood of Yom Kippur? So let's take a look at the fourth of the Marmakomas, fourth of the sources. Let's pick it up from the end of the first line to Sanya. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer is depicting for us how to celebrate Yom Tov. He's not talking about Yom Kippur, he's talking about Shalosh Regalim. How do you celebrate Yom Tov? Says Rabbi Eliezer, Ein lo liyadim b'yom tov, elo ocha b'shosa yoshi b'shona. Rabbi Eliezer says there are two tracks for Yom Tov. You pick, you choose which one you want. Either you can enjoy yourself in this world, you can eat, you can drink, suda, spend a lot of time with your family around the table, or yoshi b'shona. Or you could sit in the Beis Medrash all day, daven, get a little bit in the morning, and sit and learn all day. Those are the two options for you. You pick which one you want. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Rabbi Yeshua says no. Chalkeyu, take a little bit of both. Split it up. Chetzio le'achilu shtia, v'chetzio le'beis medrash. Half for eating and drinking, and half for the Beis Medrash. Now, it doesn't mean you have to sit with a stopwatch. Well, I was just sat in the Beis Medrash till 11:03, and I got to go eat approximately, give or take. You know, it's not like a kazayis matzah. Give or take, you know, half the day. You have to split the day with aspects, components of both. What's the point of contention? Where did this machlokis emanate from? The Gemara continues. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Ushdeya mikra echarshu. They both have their sources in the same pasuk, or the same group of pasukim. One pasuk describes Yom Tov as being atzeres l'Hashem Elokecha. The Torah emphasizes that Yom Tov is a day of celebration for Hashem, l'Hashem Elokecha. Because of Echad Omer, another pasuk says atzeres t'yelochem. It is a day of celebration for you, Rabbi Eliezer Savar. Why does the Torah say in one place for you and one place for Hashem? Oh, kula Hashem, kula Hashem. So you have a choice, whatever you want. You want to go down the Beis Medrash road, you want to go down the table mode. Either one is an acceptable form of Simchas Yom Tov. Rabbi Yeshua Savar, Rabbi Yeshua said, no, the Torah is not giving us two choices, but rather chalkeu, to split. Everybody should do a little bit of both. Chetzi l'Hashem v'chetzi l'Hashem, half and half, or approximately half and half. And that's how we pasten. We follow the halacha, the view of Rabbi Yeshua, and it says in Shulchan Aruch that the proper way of celebrating Yom Tov, part of the day should be l'Hashem, part of the day should be l'Hashem. What does that mean practically? So the Rambam actually spells out the schedule, pretty much what the schedule of the day should be. You wake up early in the morning, you go to shul, you daven, that's part of l'Hashem. You learn a little bit, part of l'Hashem. You come home, you have a little bit to eat, a little kiddush something, a little bit l'Hashem. You learn a little bit more, you have a suda, back and forth, a suda, eating, I guess. The question is, where does sleeping fit into the picture? So some say sleeping, that's lachem. Others say sleeping is blank time. It's not lachem, not lachem. So I don't know. I'm not sure. So as we're sitting on the seventh day of Aseres Mechuvah, that means we've been already 2 full weeks at the Slichos. One of the Rabbanim and Yeshiva said to me this morning, he had a very good line. He said, there's tired, and then there's Aseres Mechuvah tired. Like a new chal shame of being tired. So hopefully you'll bear with me till the end of the show. I'll try to stay awake till the end. So we pass in a lot like Rabbi Yeshua, they do a little bit of both. There's a fascinating story from one of the Chassidish Rebbes. It's one of those stories where it doesn't really matter which Rebbe said. I'll tell you the story, you plug in the Rebbe, it doesn't really make a difference. That there was such a slava, such an enthusiasm, such an excitement in the Beis Medrash, and davening with a halal, with a Muslim. Wow, it was amazing. At the end of davening, so the Rebbe got up and he announced to the Chassidim, he said, listen carefully. He said, we just completed the Chatzi Lachem. We just enjoyed ourselves. We got such a geschmack, such enjoyment from davening. You know, Nebuch, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you have to have a little bit L'Hashem. So it says in Halach, you have to have some Bas V'Yayin. Okay, everyone go home, have a little bit of Bas V'Yayin, and come back for the Tishy afterwards. So that's the Chassidish version. The real version is Lachem really means to enjoy the Bas V'Yayin and Suda, whatever it is. And L'Hashem, of course, is the davening, the learning, etc. So comes the Gemara and tells us in the very last line, the fourth of the sources, Amar Belozer, Hakomodim be'atzeres tabi'inanami lachem. Even though according to Rabbi Eliezer, in theory, one could have spent the whole Yom Tov davening and learning, There's one Yom Tov for Rabbi Eliezer agrees that's not appropriate. And if all the Yom Tov, which is that? Shivuos. Why? My time of Yom Shin above Torah. When the Torah was given to the Jewish people, that's the only day of the year you have to leave the Beis Medrash. That's the only day of the year everybody agrees you have to have a Suda. Everyone agrees you have to enjoy, have a geshmak of Olam Hazeh on Shavuos. Why? Because the Torah was given to the Jewish people. Comes Rashi on the spot in the fifth of the sources and says, the Be'ina Nami Lachem, Sheyismach Bo B'Maychal Mishteh. You have to celebrate Shavuos with a good meal. Why is that? Laharos, to show, to demonstrate, Shenoach Umakubo Yom Zel Yisrael Shinatarbo, to show that this is a wonderful day. If a person sees you sitting and learning all day in Shavuos, they'll see, oh, you're a great Talmid Chacham, he's a big masbid, but they're not quite sure whether it's Noach Umakubo. They're not quite sure, is it something that he really likes? Sometimes we do things that we don't necessarily like. We celebrate what we like. We celebrate what we love. The celebration of Shavuos is so critical, it's more important than Pesach and Sukkos. According to Eliezer, Pesach and Sukkos, we can let you stay in the Beis Medrash if you really want to. But Shavuos, you've got to come home and have a Suda with your family. Laharos Sheyom Zeh Noachem Akubu. What you see from this Gemara is a very powerful insight. That Kabbalah HaTorah requires a Suda. You cannot have a Kabbalah HaTorah without a celebration. Because a Kabbalah HaTorah without a celebration, it's a Lom de Shavuot. It's Nish Kabbalah HaTorah. That's like Kabbalah HaTorah. That may be Limud HaTorah, maybe a big masbid, maybe a finishing shas, or at least a fiyomi for the day, but it's not a Kabbalah HaTorah mitoch simcha, laharo shenoach ha-mukubi yomzeli Yisrael, and therefore every celebration of Kabbalah HaTorah requires a physical celebration of Olam HaZeh, of Basav Yayin, whatever the definition of a Suda is. Comes the Gemara and continues along this theme in the sixth of the sources, the Gemara in Pesachim Dav Samaches Amabez, Amar Rav Yosef, Hakol Modim Bepurim, the Be'ina Nami Lachem. Everybody agrees that on Purim you have to have a Suda also. One would have thought, Purim? I'm going to celebrate, but sitting and learning all day. No, you have to have a Suda. Why, my timer? You may mishte v'simcha ksiv day. Because there are days of celebration, and celebration means physical celebration. You have to have your boss of yayin in the proper moderation. This is not a Purim shir, but if it would be a pre-Purim shir, I would tell you exactly how much. For those who want to be really, really machmir or revius, 3 ounces of wine, you go to the midst of Simcha L'Choladeus and Purim, but again, another time, another place. Maybe they're coming back to speak closer to Purim, so we'll tell you what I think about that. But right now, we're in Kippur Shia, and the Gemara tells us that on Purim, you have to have a Suda, you have to have a little Bosiya, and you have to celebrate, have a nice meal with your family on Purim, because it's a time of Simcha. What does that mean? Purim is a time of Simcha, therefore you have to have a Suda. So perhaps following the lines of what Rashi said, that whenever there's Kabbalah HaTorah, there must be Suda to express that it's Yom Noach HaMakubal. There was a third Kabbalah HaTorah in Jewish history. One was on Shavuos. I didn't mention the second one yet. We'll get to that in a second. The third one was on Purim. Chazal say that in the days of Purim, Kimu V'Kiblu HaYehudim, the Jewish people reaccepted Torah. In the days of Shavuos, the first Kabbalah HaTorah was done a little bit under duress. Kadosh Baruch Hu lifted up the mountain, whether literally or figuratively, and they kind of had no choice whether to accept the Torah. In the days of Achashverosh, there were no grandiose public miracles, there was no absolute Ashras HaShechina, and the Jewish people still understood that Kimu V'Kibul HaYehudim, that was an amazing renaissance of recommitment to Torah and Mitzvahs. It was a brand new Kabbalah HaTorah in the days of Purim, and perhaps that's the celebration of Purim. Purim is not only a celebration of being saved from our enemies, but it is a celebration of the fact that the Jewish people understood that the only way for us to survive is as the Jewish people. The only way for us to overcome all the adversaries is through a new Kabbalah HaTorah. So the celebration of Purim is also Kabbalah HaTorah oriented. In fact, the Ksav Sofer, the son of the Ksav Sofer, had a fascinating insight that perhaps that's the reason why we give Shalach Manos at Purim. It's a very strange practice, Shalach Manos. What do I have to give Shalach Manos for? Says the Ksav Sofer, when you see a person sitting down to eat, that's indicative of one of two things. Either he's very, very happy, or he's miserable, trying just to forget about his misery by having something to eat. The good way to test whether he's happy or whether he's sad is he's sending food to others. If he wants to share, a person makes a simcha, it's very hard to make a simcha by yourself, so you want to share your simcha with others. Shalach manos is the sharing of your meal with others. That indicates that you're eating as an expression of simcha, not as just a way of forgetting about your misery. So if a person sits down to a Purim Suda on his own, I don't know, is he really happy about this Torah thing? Maybe he's so miserable that he got the Torah back, he just wants to forget it and have his boss be eye and leave him alone. No, he's celebrating. He sends food to others. This is assuming that he's sending from his Purim Suda. I guess the Ksav Sofer didn't make themes for his Purim baskets and didn't send, you know, little tchotchkes. He sent some of his Purim Suda to show the world, I am so happy. Laharos, as Rashi said about Shavuos, Shenoch HaMakubi Yom Zeh Yisrael. So we have 2 days of the year that are dedicated to Kabbalah Satorah. One is Shavuos with the Suda. One is Purim with the Suda. But there's a third one. And we continue on the end of the sixth of the sources. Marbere de Ravina, could the very end of the first line, Marbere de Ravina, Kula Shasa V'yasa B'tanisa. He would fast all year long, all the time. He would always have fast. He would have very extra special fast days. But there are a few days of the year he would never ever fast. Levame Atzart on Shavuos. Upurian on Purim, and now of course what's relevant for us, Umale Yom de Kippuri. On Erev Yom Kippur, he would not fast. Why? Because Erev Yom Kippur, there's a special mitzvah to have a suda. There's a special, we don't eat an Erev Yom Kippur just because we're going to be hungry the next day. There's a mitzvah to have a suda on Erev Yom Kippur. The quote from Reb Chaim Brisker, that he was so mocked on this mitzvah of eating Erev Yom Kippur, he didn't want to go a moment of the day without eating. He had a candy in his mouth the whole day. So he wanted to be machmed, a brisker shia. Always say, most of us are not so machmed on that, but everyone's machmed to have a suda, have a full kedasu chedin, to have a suda on Erev Yom Kippur as a great celebration. What in the world are we celebrating on Erev Yom Kippur? So the answer is, we are celebrating Kabbalah Satorah, because Yom Kippur was the day that the Luchos Shniyos were given. Now, obviously, we can't have that celebration on Yom Kippur. That would be ludicrous. But the celebration that would otherwise take place in Yom Kippur is preempted in Erev Yom Kippur. So when we sit down to our Suda, a little bit before Kol Nidre, what we're really doing is, it's the continuation of our Shavuot Suda, and it's the introduction to our Purim Suda. There are three meals during the course of the year that have a common theme to them. One is the Shavuot meal, one is the Erev Yom Kippur meal, and one is the Purim Suda. I didn't say the menu is necessarily the same. You know, most people don't eat cheesecake on Erev Yom Kippur. Okay, menu may be slightly different, but the theme is the same. They're all expressions, as the Rashi said, Shenoach HaMakul Yom Zeh Yisrael. So we have really almost two different themes taking place on Yom Kippur. On the one hand, it's a day of Slicha Mechila Tshuva, which itself warrants great joy. And now we also have the second dimension of it being a day of Kabbalah Satorah. But the truth is that these are not really two separate themes. They're really almost fused and merged to become one. In the seventh of the sources, the Torah tells us, Ki ha-mitzvah zos asher anochi mitzavcha yom lo mifleisi mimcha v'lo rechokehi. This mitzvah, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, this mitzvah I'm about to tell you can be done. It's not impossible. You don't have to climb up the heavens. You don't have to go on a boat ride to over the seas. You could do it. You could really do it. It's really, really easy to do. There's only one problem. We don't know which mitzvah we're talking about. Ki mitzvah zos. This mitzvah. Which mitzvah? Who mitzvah? What mitzvah? So there's machlokes in the mefarshim, what mitzvah we're referring to. So Rashi interprets this pasuk as be referring primarily to the mitzvah of studying of Torah. And the Ramban interprets the pasuk to be referring primarily to the mitzvah of tshuva, of repentance. Well, which one is it? So Rabbi Jolti, Rabbi Rosh Mishalayim, many decades ago, suggested that there's not really a machlokes. It's not really a debate. The two sides of the same coin. Said the mitzvah hazos is both tshuva and the study of Torah. How is that? The ultimate level of tshuva is tshuva me'ava. Tshuva, where a person reconnects to Hashem through love. What vehicle does a person use to reach love of Hashem? How do I love Hashem? So we ask that question every single day, at least twice a day. If you have to say Hashem lokecha, Chazal say, how do you love Hashem? Read the next pasuk. Through the study of Hashem's words. The more you study Hashem's words, the more you get to know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more you know someone, the more you love that person. The more you know about Hashem, the more you love Hashem as well. So says Rav Jolti, they're both right, they're both true. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah itself creates that relationship of Ahava, which in turn is the prerequisite for tshuva. Because the ultimate level of tshuva is tshuva mi'ahava, as the Rambam described, mudbat b'shchina, the reconnecting, the tshuva that reconnects the person to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we connect all the dots. What we really have is not two disjointed aspects of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur happens to be a day of tshuva, and it just by golly coincidentally is a day of Kabbalah Satorah. No, it's the same thing. that Kabbalah said Torah and Tshuva are the same thing. Tshuva means a reconnecting with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. One reconnects with the Kaddish Baruch Hu through the vehicle of Limud HaTorah and of course Shmiras HaMitzvos by extension as well. The great, grandiose celebration of Yom Kippur is that new relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, the newfound connection to being Lifnei Hashem, which is found both through the vehicle of Tshuva as well as through the vehicle of Kabbalah HaTorah. So now we know where Yom Kippur takes us, but with something lacking, there's still something missing. Because remember, the Rambam said that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are not Yimei Simcha Yaseira. There's something that's holding us back. We should be jumping from the rooftops in Yom Kippur, but we're not ready to do that yet, because notwithstanding the entire shiur we just gave, it's still Yimei Pachad. The Sifrei Chaim, the Sifrei Meisim is still open. It's still Yimei Hadin. So there's something holding us back from the joy. So if you notice, when the Rambam used the phrase, they're not days of Simcha Yaseir, remember that phrase for a moment, they're not days of Simcha, they're not days of all-encompassing, overabundance of joy. Let's go to the eighth of the sources. The Rambam in Hilchos Shofar in Sukkah Belulah, Preches Loch Yedeis, tells us, Afa b'shekol ha'muadas mitzvah smok v'am. There's a great mitzvah of Simchas Yontav and all Yom Tov, in Pesach Shavuos, b'chag ha'sukos, ho'isa shom b'mikdosh. Catch the two words, Simcha Yaseir. The Rambam says in the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkot, there was a Simcha Yaseira, there was an abundance of joy. I don't think the Rambam meant those words just coincidentally. I think the Rambam had in mind exactly what he wrote in Hilchos Teshuvah. What's lacking on Yom Kippur is made up on Sukkot. Because Yom Kippur really had all the elements of Simcha Yaseira to it. It was a day of Teshuvah, which is Simcha Yaseira. It was a day of Kabbalah HaTorah, which is Simcha Yaseira. What was stopping us from reaching fruition of Simcha Yaseira was it still Yimei Pachad. Well, once that shofar blows in Matzvei Yom Kippur, once that voice of heaven comes out and says, Kfar Ratza Lekimus Masech, Hashem has accepted that tshuva, so the load that goes off of our hearts, that feeling of relief in Matzvei Yom Kippur, there's nothing like that feeling when Yom Kippur, not there's nothing like Yom Kippur, nothing like Matzvei Yom Kippur because we're about to go eat dinner that night. That's not what I mean. I mean the spiritual relief, the tension in the air of just a few moments ago we said in the Elan, we were thinking our lives were on the back, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hashem has accepted that tshuva. So all of a sudden, what started out as a mini simcha now changes and becomes potentially a simcha yaseira. Simcha yaseira, you have to celebrate simcha yaseira. Where is the celebration of simcha yaseira? That's sukkah. So Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us 3-4 days in the middle to build a sukkah, buy a wolf and esrog. This year it's very, very tight because there's a Shabbos in the middle. So they really, Kadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmanis on us. At least he made Erev Sukkot on a Sunday. So at least he got a little bit of a tashlumen for that. But it's tough. It's challenging those couple of days. But when you sit down to your sukkah, sit down in your sukkah the first night of sukkah, and you take your wolf and esrog and you say halal the first day of sukkah, what you are celebrating is the culmination of the joy that was building up on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It was a joy that was just held in check on Yom Kippur because it's still Yimei Pachad. Once Yimei Pachad disappear and they're over and the thing of the past, Simcha Yaseira kicks in. This sets the tone, not just for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Sukkah sets the tone for the entire year. If we want to know what it means to be b'simcha the entire year, what it means to be b'simcha is to be with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now they say that in some circles they say mitzvah gedola lios b'simcha tamid, and other circles they say simcha gedola lios b'mitzvah tamid. That means the more mitzvahs you're involved in, the closer you are to Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's the greatest simcha. So both of them should be true. Wish everybody should have a gemach simcha tov, should have a wonderful, wonderful yontif, and we should only celebrate in the mikdash to have yameinu the simcha yaseira. That's the shem we should be zachet.
My name is Chaim. If you just wanted to ask you, is this a different mandama, Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Eliezer?
Yeah. Because Rabbi Eliezer is the Tana.
Yeah, and so no, so but later on in the Gemara it says Rabbi Lazar.
No, that's the Amora. I'm a Rabbi Eliezer, is not the Tana.
No,
different person.
You kind of indicated.
Yeah. Sometimes we just say colloquially, Rabbi Lazar, but it's really two different.
No, it's two different ones. Yeah. So if Rabbi Lazar is kicking in here, he's a third mandamer.
Right. He's an Amora. He's explaining the Machlokes Rabbi Eliezer for sure. Right. So he's 100 years later, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Wish everyone a Gemara Chasima Tova.